Thank God for the gifts of this season and how His good Holy Spirit draws us to Himself, from everything from the decorations that are really beautiful to great music to you coming to worship Christ. And don't underestimate your impact on other lives, people around you who are hurting or have special needs. We enjoyed being away for a bit and got to go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to see the Psalms of David in the theater that's there that puts on Christian plays. It was pretty dramatic, a lot of exciting music. And even they had a very realistic 10-foot Goliath come out and intimidate little David. And then little David knocked him over, you know, the Bible story. So it was a good time. We also got to visit Pretzel Factory, Chocolate Factory, and eat some goodies. So we enjoyed that time. Thank you for the gifts that made that possible. And thanks, Mike, for preaching last week and for everybody being in ministry last week while we goofed off a little bit. Billy Graham's favorite song is, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." And I think Graham understands that the more sins and griefs we share with God, the better He is a friend to us. So if you have sins and griefs to share with Christ this morning, He's very ready to be a friend with you. It also helps us in a principle of friendship from person to person. Actually, the more sins and griefs, in addition to joys and good things, we're ready to share with other people, the more effective we'll be in our friendships with others. So take that mantle on, if you would, as you share sins and griefs with Christ. Please seek out to share joys and sins and griefs with other people. That opens up the door for all kind of ministry and all kind of solid relationships that we in our broken world are sorely lacking. Well, at Christmas time, we remember that Jesus was born to a friendless world. And what is it like to feel friendless? Some people actually thrive on being friendless and independent and isolated, consequently have very little effect on other people. But to be friendless, you might want to ask a teenager, what's it like to be friendless? That's an age group that often experiences lack of friendship. You might want to ask anybody over 70 who perhaps has lost friends throughout the years through them moving or them passing on. You might want to ask a single parent who tries to be mom and dad each day to their children. If you could go back in time with me and ask Jewish people and Roman people at the time when Jesus was born, they would tell you what it's like to be friendless, particularly the Jewish people, surrounded by nations throughout their history that were not beating the door down to be friends and allies and companions to Jewish folks, and still is the case today. And if you were a Jewish person back then when Jesus was born, you had no voice, you had no vote, you had no say. And most of all, you had no power of God in your life. So if God is not in your life, if you're not sensing His presence or power, it's truly a sad thing that Jesus would come to make an impact on. It's a friendless condition. If you were to ask Roman people, what's it like to be friendless? They would even probably come and tell you, even though they were the number one power in the world. They had the power. They considered any other group of people who wanted to get close to them with suspicion. Would they betray the power of Rome? They had to be kept at a distance and under control. And it's a good principle for us to remember in our own relationships with people. It's really hard to have power and friendship toward another person at the same time. If you're truly going to be a friend to another person, you'll have to probably give up some of what you feel is your power. As Christ went from heaven to a cradle, to the cross, to go on a mission. And into that friendless world, Jewish, Roman, hearts that had turned their back on God, Jesus was born into a friendless mess. And the Apostle Paul summarized his ministry this way: God was reconciling the world to Himself. God was saying, people who are not a friend to God, come and trust Him. Come and share your griefs and sins. Open your hearts up to God. He has opened His heart up to you. The message of salvation Christ came to bring is simply that we could taste in our own hearts this morning, afresh, or maybe one time in a December service, someone says, I didn't expect it, but God gave me a new birth from above. I trusted Him for the first time. His gospel message is, I love you. I forgive you because of what I've done for you at the cross. And I will come and fix what you have broken and you cannot fix yourself. Come and follow me. God offers us Himself this morning. The Message Bible puts it this way. Become friends with God. He's already a friend to you. That heart need we all have. Duke University recently did a study about trends in our culture. What happens around us so rapidly sometimes and we are a part of. And they said that one of the fastest growing trends in our nation is the trend toward no friendship or no friendships in our lives. Up to 1 out of 4 people, an incredibly high number, 1 out of 4 people in America say they really don't have any friends, so to speak. Friendship was something in the past for them. They can't identify anybody with which they would say, I can trust that person. I spend time with that person on a regular basis. And that's an incredible number. If I were to say this morning that there's a flu epidemic that has broken out in Westmoreland County, and the flu's affecting a lot of people. People end up in isolation because of it. And this flu is very different. It doesn't pass in 3 or 4 days, as a lot of flus do. But the flu stays with the person indefinitely and really disables them in a number of different ways. As a Christian, your heart would probably go out to that situation. You'd probably say, what can I do to help? Can I visit? Can I reach out? Can I pray? Can I do something about that epidemic? Well, thank God, not a flu epidemic like that, but an epidemic of being friendless, of hearts that are around us, maybe in our church, maybe your heart this morning. But God reaches out to those who have no friend. I remember one time around the Christmas season when I was found myself in isolation, moving from college to my first work, and feeling friendless. Invited by a couple over their house to eat popcorn and watch a football game. And it became a bright spot in my celebration of the birth of Christ. They were Christian people who just wanted to share. And so what a difference that made for a time of isolation. When I think of not being a friend to people, these are some of the excuses I come up with, and maybe you come up with those yourself if you think, well, who am I a friend to? If someone were in trouble and needed to call somebody at 11 p.m., would they call me? How many people are on that list? When I see how I am not a friend to others, these are my excuses, but all of which have a bit of lie to them. Number one, I have no time. Well, that's not true. God gives me plenty of time to know Him and to serve Him. So that can't be a good excuse. I fill my time up with things instead of people. That's a mistake. Number two, I would have nothing in common with people. I don't think they would want me as a friend. That shows a self-centered attitude and perhaps a fearful attitude that doesn't see God's goodness in your own life. We could repent of that if we say, I can't be a friend to the friendless because I have nothing in common with them. Or this excuse, which is more one of truth. My interest is just not there. I simply don't love enough to be a good friend to others. And that's a sin we could change in our hearts with Christ's help. He could change that heart that doesn't reach out. In the Duke University study, it was said that 3 things are needed for effective friendships with people who don't have a lot of a support system in their lives. Number one would be sacrifice. to extend yourself. Number two would be mutual initiative to take that first step. And number three would be a generous amount of humility that God can provide in our hearts. And when you think of what Christ came to do when he was born, those three factors he modeled very well. Sacrifice from God's heaven to a manger and to the cross itself. He gave initiative. He's always reaching out to us first. And then, of course, a generous amount of humility. The glory of God the Son from all eternity past, worshipped by the angels, hunted down by humanity shortly after he was born. And the Savior came to hearts like yours and mine. And then he sends to hearts like yours and mine. In Jesus' day, the Jewish folks decided not to befriend people who did not believe like they believed. Maybe it was accidental, or maybe it was a self-centered thing, but they made a definite commitment. We will not reach out to those who do not believe like we believe. And especially, we won't reach out to the Romans. We believe in one true God, they do not. We believe the Scriptures, they do not. So there was never much of a bridge built between the Jewish folks and the Romans around them. And even in their worship time, as they set up a temple, a court was built outside the gathering of the Jewish folks who would come to worship God. It would be on the outer periphery of the gathering. It was called the Court of the Gentiles. I thought about having the trustees make a sign for our foyer and call it the Court of the Gentiles. I used to call the that outward foyer the Court of the Gentiles in the church I came from, until the usher said, "Stop that. You do a lot of good work out there." And not the Court of the Gentiles. But there was a separation from in God's people, not towards God, but towards leaving others behind, even in their worship mentality, their worship perspective. And God himself, recognizing the people's own hurts and disabilities, set up another separation, another wall. It was a curtain around the Holy of Holies that no one could go into except the high priest once a year. It was to keep people away from God's holy presence, because everybody, Jewish folks and those in the court of the Gentiles, had not been a friend to God. They had sinned against God countless times. And so God kept that curtain up because the people had put it up. But when Jesus was born, part of his great mission was not to keep the Holy Communion just for God, but his mission was to come and give his life so that that wall could be torn down when he would give his life at the cross, and God's holiness and presence could be experienced and known throughout the whole world and in every part of every hurting person, both Jewish and Gentile. He was the one who brought down the dividing wall. And that reconciling work of God goes on through your life and my life. A lot of times we decide not to be a friend to others because we've set up a dividing wall in our own heart. And in our own heart, there's a part of us that we would consider good, where if we've received Christ, Christ is there, and prayer and love and action, and that's a part of our heart. And then in the other divided part of our heart, there is sin and fear and selfishness and things we don't want anybody to know about, and perhaps maybe hide them from God also. But when Christ comes into our lives, he puts down that dividing wall also, and he moves into the parts of our heart that are not healthy, that we can bring our sins and griefs to him. And he says, "I can bring my love, my holiness to that part also." So that as you and I reach out to people around us, we don't fear any longer whether we're reaching out effectively, but we reach out with good news from a heart that is continually being helped by God himself. The message we bring to people around us this is how Christ has helped me in life and in this past week even. And we pass it on to a heart that would understand that would know that. To let God invade your whole heart that you might be a friend to others as Jesus has been a friend to you. That's the challenge. Did you know if we took a survey, hopefully this morning, 90% of people who have really come to Christ and are following Him intentionally do so because of the influence of a Christian friend. That is the biggest factor in someone actually coming to Christ and following Him. It is the influence of a Christian friend. More so than, dare I say, preaching. As important as the ministry of the Word is, gives us health and points us to God and strength, points us to His Word. More so than music, which is a tremendous gift of God, drawing people closer to Him. But the biggest factor in somebody being helped by God, receiving Christ and following Him, is you. And is just a person reaching out to others. And that's exciting when we join God and as He makes friends with people through Christ, we join Him in that work. And that's exciting because for that to happen in your life and my life, we don't need a lot of money from the church, do we, to accomplish that. We don't need a perfect worship service, although we do worship the perfect one, Christ. We don't even need Chuck Swindoll in the pulpit. But the Lord's faithfulness in working through His people. And there's a contemporary Christian song that asks a person who is friendless and perhaps outside of knowing Christ and confused about Him. The words of the song goes like this. I hope you can see yourself singing it. Someone loves you. You say that to by your actions to a person outside of Christ. Someone loves you even when you don't think so. Don't you know? You got me and Jesus. You got me and Jesus. And I, in preparation for this sermon, I asked myself the question, who outside the church who is not a Christian, who doesn't have a Bible, and doesn't know Christ says, that Bob Daniels, he's one of my best friends. He really, I mean, he is there for me and we do things together and I confide in him and all those things. Well, I could say, well, I got some people in the church like that, Christian friends, but to leave the unchurched alone, it would be just a sin. God calls us to go and be a friend to the friendless. That's how lives are changed. And what a blessing He does. When we do that, and His Holy Spirit works, and somebody says, who are the friends in my life? And your name comes up. They're outside the church. They don't know Christ. Your name comes up. And that person is drawn to Christ through you. And God gets the glory. Because of the mission He is on, the mission He has sent you on. And this time of year when we celebrate Christ's birth, remember, He came to make people, change them from the inside out. And how friendships do that. God is making it busy about making friends for Himself. He calls us to join Him in that great adventure. God's already a friend to the friendless. He wants you to join Him and be a friend to the friendless too. Might you be led to one or more unchurched people who would so be blessed by your kind concern for their lives and what God would do for you and them. Let's pray together in this commitment. Jesus, as we continue to worship, we do confess with the hymn writer and with Mr. Graham, we do have a great friend in you, all our sins and griefs to bear. And Father, if we were to physically get up this morning and bring a package or a bag of sins and griefs that perhaps bother us, we would fill the sanctuary literally. We think of offerings of the Christmas shoe boxes weeks ago. That was such a blessing. But we do have things in our lives that are broken and won't be fixed unless we come and give them to you. I pray, Father, that as we have communion with you this morning, you would help us to do this. Knock down dividing walls in our own heart that we keep you from. We think we are safe to keep some of our lives for ourselves. But as we examine it closely, these are the most painful and unhealthy areas of our lives. And then, Lord, might we see walls broken down between what we feel would be a Christian person and a person who have yet to receive Christ. Help us to be sent to precious souls for which you came. And Lord, we continue to pray for people who have special needs. We remember our military people serving overseas and in our nation. Bless them, keep them safe and strong. Thank you for their sacrifice. We remember missionaries who serve in different parts of the world, particularly in the Middle East, that you would give them grace and mercy and courage. And Father, for those dealing with physical disabilities or emotional brokenness, that this time would be an opportunity to know your care for them. Help each one during communion to know that they are loved by you, that they are invited by you to join them in mission this week. Draw hearts close to yourself during our communion time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A wonderful invitation that God gives us to communion with him at the Lord's table from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When we have communion with each other and with the Lord, we say, "Jesus died for me. He gave his life for me, and he lives. And I want his presence every moment, and I look forward to him coming again." Please participate with gratitude to Christ and great joy in him.